Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Agerberg gives the ball, Belton up the middle, 10, and into the secondary to the 30, 40. Belton to the 50, near side 40. He's to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Bill Belton. 92 yards for a touchdown to tie a Penn State record for the longest touchdown run ever. 22-yard attempt for the lead, put down by Gula. The kick is up, and the kick by Sam Fickett is good, and the Nittany Lions have their first lead of the afternoon. Trips far side, Booth near side, Coleman to the left of Diamant, takes the snap, back to pass, delivers down the middle, intercepts him, Naeem Wortman, 35, Wortman to the far side, 30, Wortman, 25, Wortman taken down inside the 25 at the 24-yard line, Naeem Wortman with his first career interception, and the Nittany Lions with 2:26 to go, get the ball at the Indiana 24. Sam Fickett, 28-yard attempt, slight angle to his left. Waits, snap down. Kick is up by Ficken. The kick by Sam Ficken is good, and the Nittany Lions have a 13-7 lead with 55 seconds to go in the game.
It's amazing when they take the cast off how you can catch the ball. Naeem Wortman had the cast taken off last week. And this Penn State defense might be the best defense in the country. Now, I realize that was a very one-dimensional Indiana football team. And when you're one-dimensional, it plays right into what Penn State wants to do. When you're that one-dimensional. And they're going to face another team that struggles running the ball in Temple. And they can make them possibly one-dimensional as well. But we'll see how it plays out. Temple defensively, though, has played very well this year. Phil Snow's done a nice job with that team for Matt Rhule on the defensive side of the ball. And that will be a noon kickoff run beginning at 10:30. Selins Grove is going to take on Jersey Shore and as the never-ending playoffs continue.
That game, by the way, will be on 94KX. It was just announced earlier today due to Bucknell basketball on Eagle 107.
There you go.
And speaking of Bucknell basketball, we'll have our first talk with Coach Dave Paulson this afternoon at 4:06.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was closed and official moments ago. So, sorry to spring that one on you, my friend.
Okay. All right.
And he will be a regular Monday feature for the next several weeks during the season.
Very nice. Dave's a great guy, excellent coach. Really have a lot of respect for the job Dave does. And season starts on Friday night. And, of course, Penn State will take on Morgan State Friday night.
And that will be here on WKOK.
Yes. Dick and I will have that for you. It's kind of like an all-me weekend, isn't it?
Oh, man, you're not kidding. I was looking at it today. I'm like, let's see. Monday through Friday, plus the double on Thursday with the coaches show, the double on Friday with the basketball game, then Saturday, and then a Sunday basketball game as well. And then right back with more Steve. Oh, my goodness.
Tell you right now, is life good or what?
I love you like a brother, but I'm not sure I want to spend that much time with you.
You know, the audience, we do a lot of, research. they don't like when you're negative toward them.
Really? Really? Huh.
Hey, speaking of which, yeah. Hey, your team was really special yesterday. That was great.
You know what? I was driving around, and I was looking at the updates, and I'm thinking... I was thinking, you know what? I should get home and watch this game. And as the second quarter rolled on and the updates kept coming on my phone, I really had no desire to get home any time to watch the game. So I found things to do so I didn't have to.
Found things to do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I literally drove in circles just to avoid going home to watch it.
I've been really anxious, as has the to get your take on the game.
What did I say the last 2 weeks to you? I said I am not getting overly excited about this football team because I'm not convinced that they've turned the corner. This is a pretty good example of why I felt pretty comfortable not getting excited. Do you realize, I think Tomlin is now 1-8? Now that's not fair because I know he's the coach, but let's look at it this way, just statistical purposes. He's 1-8 against teams with a winning percentage of 200 or less.
You have to give them credit. They are the only team in the National Football League to have lost to Tampa Bay and the Jets.
I knew that was coming. I was waiting for you to use that one. I mean, this is... And almost lose to Jacksonville yet.
I mean, that's a... kind of a wow moment for you, wasn't it?
Well, I know that there was an 80-yard pass. I mean, there was one long pass in the game. But
I want to know.
But only 350 yards passing, and you have 350 yards passing and lose.
I want to know what you thought of the play calling.
I told you I didn't watch any of it, so I can't make a judgment.
How could you not watch any of it? I thought you were a fan.
I'm not that. I'm telling you, I'm not that interested in this season. It's just not fun to watch for me.
So you stopped watching sports?
No. I didn't say that. I stopped watching the Steelers yesterday, and it appears as though I made the right decision.
Because everybody's really been anxious to get your take on the game. It doesn't seem like they were all that anxious to. Oh, brother. You have to be kidding me.
What?
The Illinois game is now going to be on a six-day selection. This should be the last one, by the way.
Well, they only have one more, but I thought sure it would be Michigan State that would be on a six-day.
No. No, that's not even remotely close to a six-day.
So that's an automatic decision there.
Well, it should be easy because I've already put Michigan and Ohio State at noon. Everything else can then fall into place after that.
All right.
My guess is Michigan State's at 3:30.
3:30, probably, yeah.
But, I mean, that's just my guess. They haven't said it yet.
Okay, so we're looking at a six-day waiting period now.
Well, but I mean, it's a road game, so that doesn't really matter as much. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
It's a road game. It doesn't matter. So the game is either going to be 11 o'clock in the morning there, or it's going to be 2:30 in the afternoon, one of the two. Okay. So, I mean, that's all that means. I'm just saying. Every time you turn around, they keep pulling this, and it's not really... I don't think they're helping the game. But that's a different topic. Doesn't matter.
Well, they were only allowed to do this one more game. Is that correct?
Well, that would be it. This would be the third and final time.
Right.
I mean, the final weekend really takes care of itself. You pretty much know where you want to go with things at that particular point. Well, I mean, you know, there are a lot of games that aren't even on Saturday. I mean, there are games that are on Friday because it's Thanksgiving. There are a couple Thanksgiving Day games. There's a series of games on Friday. There's Saturday. You know, so it's spread all over the lot. There's a lot of different things you can do. This is disappointing. I was really hoping that we would get your take on the play calling.
I know, and I know there's some friends of mine, and I'm sure Tim Four is listening right now and is one of them.
For credibility's sake, I think acquaintances.
No. Tim Four is a friend now because we spend way too much time together in the winter sports season.
Oh.
So whether he likes it or not, he's got that. He's now stuck with that. I'm sure he already sent me a message that said I'm not a real fan. Well, I'm a real fan. I'm just a real fan. I'm tired of watching this team. I can't get excited about this football team.
You weren't the last couple of weeks?
No, I honestly wasn't.
Where suddenly they looked like they were on a roll? And
I was not expecting a roll anywhere.
They're playing the Jets.
I know. That's what worried me.
There isn't anybody that worries about playing the Jets.
Oh, no, no, no. I worry about any team that hasn't won in a while playing Pittsburgh because, again, 1-8 under 200.
Okay, so hold on. Hold on 1 second here.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you were worried about the Jets game, so you decided not to watch it?
I didn't make a conscious choice not to watch it. It just I had other stuff going on.
Other stuff? You're the one that says you're the fan on the show and that I'm too, you know...
But see, that's the point. I mean, this team does not excite me to the point where I feel the need to stay home and watch it. There have been years where I felt that. Not this year.
They're a potential train wreck every single time. You watch The Fugitive for the...
You're watching it for a different reason.
All the time.
Yeah. You're watching it for a completely different reason than I am. You're watching it for the nightmare that is Steeler football right now.
actually, I didn't see the game, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I honestly did not watch the game. I listened to bits and pieces of it.
And the reason I didn't even know they lost the game till 6 o'clock last night.
Oh no!
Maybe 6:30.
I knew all too well they lost the game because I have text updates that come to my phone.
You have text updates on your phone?
Well, see, that when I was coaching youth football, I couldn't watch any of the games that were on Sunday because that's when we would be playing. So the text updates would come on my phone during the game.
Hmm.
People thought I used to get upset because of, you know, plays that didn't go well. It was usually because I got a text from my phone or on my phone that told me that the Steelers gave up another touchdown.
I see.
I was loving the youth game. I mean, you know, whether you won or lost, I was enjoying that. But it was usually the text updates that got me angry.
Well, I did hours of yard work yesterday. Got every leaf out of here. And
does that do? I don't understand that.
What good does it do?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, keeps your grass from being.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, don't the leaves just decompose eventually?
No, not when they're that big.
Well, you do have a lot of trees in the front yard.
Mm-hmm, I do. And yes, I did put up the Christmas lights yesterday.
Yes!
So it's done.
The holiday season has begun!
So, and there's a reason. I have two words as to why I did it yesterday. Polar vortex.
Yeah, I don't blame you there.
I looked at the weather forecast because I can't do it next weekend at all anyway. Because I've got a basketball game Friday, a football game Saturday, a basketball game Sunday. So I have three straight days at work next weekend, so I have no chance to do it. So I looked around at the landscape and said, well, look, let's just, you know, it's 55 degrees now. Let's do it now. Because I looked at the forecast, and starting on Thursday, it's going to be no higher than 40 for the next 3.5-4 weeks. I said, this guy's not going to freeze. Let's put him out there now. And when Thanksgiving comes, we'll turn him on.
Instead of carving turkey this month, Sunbury Motors Hyundai is carving up some juicy deals on all new Hyundais. Every new Hyundai price has been carved to the bone at Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. 2015 Sonata started only $19,871. There's 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2014 Elantra sedans, coupes, and GTs. 2015 Elantra lease specials start at just $159 a month with only $19.99 due at signing. And, of course, America's best warranty on every new vehicle. 10 years, 100,000 miles. You can only find these deals at the Susquehanna Valley's value headquarters. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. The right car at the right price. Since 1915. Be sure to check out their entire inventory at sunburymotors.com. This Thanksgiving season, be thankful you got your new Hyundai from SMC.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Find out why they take such great care of their customers and become one yourself. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're joined by the outstanding football coach of the Bucknell Bison, Joe Susan, who joins us every Monday. Thanks for joining us. What was it like for you to go through that 3.5 to 4 hour passion play that took place on Friday night?
That's what college football is about, Steve. It's you want to be in positions as a player to play in games that have meaning in November, and obviously you want to, as a coach, to be able to coach in games that have meaning more than just the game. And our kids played hard, they played well, and I told them after the game, there's no solace in close games. It's something that in order to be a championship team, those are games you've got to win.
No question. What about the early on? I mean, there's certain things you could think and plan for during the course of a game. You can't plan for a stoppage like that. Now, how did you want to handle that with your...
Well, you know, it's interesting because throughout the course of the game, there were prolonged TV timeouts, and we had been in a game the week before with some TV timeouts, and it's just something you've got to get used to, trying to keep their focus. I don't think we had a problem with that. They were laser-focused. It's just I've seen concession stands create some smoke, and when this came out, I knew it was more than just a concession stand creating smoke. And funny, the referee came up to me and said, "What are we going to do about this?" And I looked at him and said, "Mike, you're asking me?"
Exactly. I want to go just off topic for 1 second. Matt Del Moro and Derek Maurer both made the academic all-district. You preach and promote academics all the time. To see what they've accomplished, what does that mean to you as a coach?
It's refreshing to see. It's rewarding. It's a tribute to the young men and how hard they work, because this is one of the more demanding undergraduate education opportunities in the country. And to see how they balanced their schedules and to see their success, it is refreshing. One side note is that Derek Maurer's dad was our team chaplain at Rutgers, which I met Derek when he was still a toddler. He's changed a little. Doesn't shave. Actually shaved the same amount of time now than he did when he was a toddler. But I, Matt Del Muro, his high school coach, was a very close friend of mine, and we actually coached together for 9 years when I was at Princeton. When you get those connections and they they recommend these young men to you, but they also entrust you with these young men to be a part of your program. It is so rewarding and so refreshing to see these guys go from who they are when they get here a little bit closer to being men and taking the responsibility that the academic rigors here provides them with, and stepping towards success, which that's the most rewarding thing I see as a college football coach. Obviously, you got to win, and we'll continue to work hard to win, but when you see them being rewarded for their work ethic and how they work and what they do and their ability to balance their priorities, that just reinforces that somebody who took me under their wing and taught me, and I'm by no means the kind of student those two guys are, but I took pride in who I was academically, and to see them do that it's so refreshing. It's a tribute to our coaching staff, too. They do an outstanding job in teaching our time management mode that these two young men have bought into, obviously.
Will Carter, here's a guy that has 40 catches so far this year, and he's almost 21 yards a catch at this stage. He's going to be a mark man no matter what when the defense comes in, yet he still makes plays for you. What makes him a really good wideout in your offense?
What they did with him, and I knew they were going to do that, they challenged him with the press coverage.
Yeah.
And there were times where they actually had two guys on him. And when you have two guys on one and you're 3-by-1 someplace else, there's a matchup in your advantage there. He just has a knack because he's not really physically big. He's slight. But he is so smooth as an athlete. And then once he releases, he's so fast you can't catch up to him. The last touchdown that we scored, we had three receivers on one side. We put Will in as the individual receiver on the open side. And all night, their free safety was starting to overplay Will's side. And I thought he was going to do that in that case because I think it was 3rd and 23. But they left him one-on-one with a corner, and it's hard to cover him one-on-one. And in fact, you know, if he gets off the line, it's impossible to cover him one-on-one. He's done a very good job at releases. Sometimes high school players have free releases in terms of how they've encountered. They don't play a lot of press in high school, and you know they think it's going to be easy. Then somebody puts both their hands right in the middle of your chest, and you can't run. Right. And his ability to make the difficult catch, his great hands, and get off the ball more, you know, that is something that when we impact a receiver's route, we know it's going to impact the timing between the receiver and the quarterback, and same holds true for Will, and he's done a very good job of that.
Clayton Ewell, I mean, there are not going to be many defensive backs in the country or guys that play that spot that have 5 sacks, 7 tackles for losses, and 4 interceptions to go with it. Discuss his instincts, Joe, that makes him the kind of player that gives a coordinator the versatility to use him.
You know, I'll use a term that I think will define his ability as a pass rusher. He's slippery and very hard to get hands on. In most cases, he challenges whoever's protecting against him, whether it's a tackle. There's an athletic advantage and a speed advantage. Then when it becomes a back, it's even more of an advantage. And a lot of people have resorted to trying to cut him. But in space, he is so attuned to where the ball is. When I spent time with Joe Moorhead, the head football coach at Fordham, prior to the game, he was concerned about two guys on defense, 27 and 5. That's Evan Byers and Clayton. And, you know, he should be. Those guys are pretty good players. But Clay Ewell is very athletic and just has an eye and a knowledge for where the ball is. And, you know, being able to use him in two different capacities as a pass coverer but also as a pressure guy, it really gives him a lot of there's a lot of multiplicity in terms of what we ask him to do, and he's embraced that and fits well into what we're doing defensively in terms of our scheme.
I mean, when somebody blitzes, you talked about him being slippery. Some of the really good ones really know how to scrape. I mean, they go right off the hip and become very difficult to get to. Does he have that kind of timing when he does it?
He does, and we use the term scrape skin. And you know, if there's space between them, whether it's lateral space or vertical space, all that does is take up time. And what basically blitz means is a condensed time frame for the quarterback. And if now you'll see it. You'll see guys that don't fit pressures well because of either lateral space or vertical space. He makes the most out of his space, and he's very sudden. I don't think he's going to win many 40-yard dashes, but he plays the game quickly. He plays the game fast. The same way with Evan Byers. Both those guys really play the game at game speed all the time. And that's what's refreshing, and it's very good for, because we have two freshmen in the secondary. We have Colin Johnoff and Connor Golden. For them to watch how he prepares and he plays will really help them become better players as they grow. And Colin Johnoff was in my office earlier today. He said, "The position you play, you have to have a thick skin and a short memory, because." Mm-hmm. You know, the last play of the game, they ran a double move on him. But, you know, that was 4 days ago. And he came in. I knew he had a look on his face, and I told him, I've never played the position. I don't think anybody would want me back there covering anybody. But short memory and thick skin, and he understood exactly what I was talking about. And I foresee him continuing to develop as a corner. And he'll be a young man that we speak about moving forward as this program continues to grow.
Joe, next one up for you is a trip up to Worcester to take on a Holy Cross team that's won its last two against Lafayette and Lehigh, respectively. What do you see in them?
I see them. Tom Gilmore does an outstanding job of preparing his team. And what I do with every opponent is I pull up the depth charts for every game that they've played and see how much that has changed and why that has changed. And there's a combination of factors involved with the depth they're playing with now. Some of it is the evolution of younger talent. There are guys on the depth chart that started out as seconds are now firsts. And some of the changes are in relation to injury. And every, you know, I told my team this last night, 100% of the teams in college football have guys that are hurt. It just works that way. And the next guy up has to be the best guy up. Their quarterback, Peter Pujols, is an outstanding player. And in the past two games, kind of found his groove. Defensively, they try to keep things in front of them, similar to when we played Georgetown, primarily a zone team. They challenge us with some unique pressures, which everybody does. It's just the nature of college football. And the other thing, too, that I haven't told my players this yet, but it's senior day there. And you know very well that they're going to play their hearts out for the seniors on that team. We try to break up the trip. By no means is it a short trip, but the young men on our team have been on the road before, and they understand what they have going for them. I told them that the two teams that have beaten us, Bryant's ranked 21st and Fordham's ranked 8th, we keep taking care of business. That's our only chance for somebody to take a look at us as it relates to the playoffs. I mentioned it once. I told him I'm not going to mention it again. I guess I just did. But if, right now, it's in our hands. And what we take care of this one, then we have our senior day. And the young men in this program deserve to, and you never deserve to win, all right? But they prepare hard to win. And yes, you do in some ways deserve to win if you do what it takes to win. And, you know, in one of the emails I sent out that I keep telling these guys, you've got to be ready to play a full 60 minutes and then some at times. That's two overtimes in 2 weeks. And
right.
It's two more than I've been through since I've been here, but that's the way college football is. It's a unique time in overtime because there are certain kicking components that are no longer a part of the game. And it's kind of almost a dead time where you better be right. And you know, I thought we had the right call for our second play of overtime. We actually had Jake Hartman over the top on a wheel route, and it just didn't work. And then we settled for the field goal, and their quarterback made a great move to escape pressure, and they wound up getting it in. But our players, obviously, from an emotional standpoint, the good thing is it was Friday. So they had Saturday to decompress, and it was good to see a lot of our players over it. We had a home field hockey game, a home soccer game, to get away from it for a while, but then get right back into it. They did a very good job of coming in last night and made them look me in the eye, and I made sure to look them in the eye. And this is the next one, and we're excited about this next opportunity.
Next opportunity is at Fitton Field. That will be in Worcester, 12:35 on Saturday. Joe, good luck on Saturday. Bring one back.
I want to say one thing. I listened to you for the first time this year, and you do an outstanding job.
That's
in spite of your sidekick that's sitting next to you right now. You know, I told him that that's the first game he's missed, and I played a lot of baseball in my life, and you get real superstitious. You don't want to mess with karma.
Yeah.
No. He and I have an understanding now. And
I will not miss another game the rest of the year. I promise you that.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Joe. And we thank Wally Pipp for being with us, too.
Have a good day.
See you Saturday, Coach.
Bye.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you. All right. Our Joe Susan, whom I have the utmost respect for, another guy falls into that category, Dave Paulson. He's about 16 minutes away. We head to the top of the hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. Great to have you with us on this Monday. Gorgeous day today. It's going to be nice tomorrow. And then, as the week goes, polar vortex. See, they have 14 inches of snow today in Minneapolis.
I saw that. I'm glad I'm not going there. Hey, Steve, before the news, I have Buzz on the line to chat with you quick.
Hi, Buzz. How are you today?
Steve, great to hear you. I had the rare opportunity on Saturday to watch the Penn State game on television from start to finish, and I just I know this is out of your realm, but I don't know who this BTN is, but that was absolutely the worst color commentating crew I've ever seen. I mean, they were talking about just about everything except the game when the kid from Penn State ran his 92-yard play from scrimmage. They were interviewing somebody on the sideline, and they broke away to show the run, but they kept talking to this guy. I mean, they were talking about everything but the football game. I finally, after the end of the first quarter, just put you guys on, and even with the 12-second difference, it was a lot more interesting to listen to your end of things rather than who those dreadful announcers were. I don't know if Penn State has any say over who does their games, but those guys were not good.
They have zero say over the who the announcers are for the networks. The only say they have over is the guys you hear on the radio.
Yeah.
They're in charge of that part.
Well, I was glad to see it, but I really enjoyed the fact that you guys were there. Like I say, even with the delay, it was better than trying to listen to those guys who were just really clueless. It was obvious they did no preparation for that game. They didn't know anything about either team.
Well,
thank you. That's all I got.
I appreciate it, Buzz. Thank you. All right. Our number is 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Our number, Dave Paulson steps in next half hour to preview Bucknell basketball. They open this week. We'll have Dave on every Monday, which I'm looking forward to very, very much. And I think he's done a great job with the program over the years. He's brought them to incredible heights. And I enjoy my conversations with him very much like Joe Susan. Bucknell has, and I can't speak obviously for the other coaches because I think everyone knows I don't follow as closely the other sports, but football and men's basketball at Bucknell I follow very closely. And over the years, it seems to me this is the best coaching situation Bucknell's had in those two spots. Just an opinion. Jason Johnson, by the way, on Facebook says, if you're such a great fan and won't watch them, why do you call them we?